Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we'll continue learning Sefer Yirmiyahu, focusing on the second chapter. You will recall that Yirmiyahu initially balked at the mission upon which Hashem sent him, afraid that the doomsday message he was sent to convey would fail to awaken the nation to repentance. Instead, it would arouse their hatred for the messenger and possibly expose him to violent outbursts. Furthermore, Yirmiyahu may have questioned the authenticity of his mystical visions. And if it was real, as genuine as it had felt, and the people took his words to heart, as the Gentiles in Nineveh had taken the words of Yonah, and repent of their sins, he too would be proven a liar when his horrific predictions would not come true. Amid such musings and misgivings came a radically different message, opening chapter 2. The harsh tone that characterized Hashem's initial revelation to Yirmiyahu was now mitigated by a gentle and loving message. Haloch v'karata be'ozne Yerushalayim le'mor. Ko amar Hashem, zacharti lach chesed ne'uraich, ahavat klulotayich, lechtech acharai b'midbar be'eretz lo zrua. Go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem, so says Hashem. I remember the selfless devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me, when you followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown. This message surely breathed fresh hope in both the prophet and his audience. This verse is among the most famous in the book of Yirmiyahu and is a beautiful expression of abiding love that had been incorporated into the liturgy of Yamim Noraim. It describes the unconditional affection and devotion between God and a young nation emerging from crushing slavery. The damaged survivors of over two centuries of bondage followed Hashem blindly into the desert, not knowing where or how they would manage to traverse the harsh terrain without provisions or water. Recalling the passion and dreamlike optimism of young lovers, Hashem yearns for the incredible bond he had shared then with Am Yisrael. Rashi explains that these words, interjected between rebuke and exhortation, indicated that there is still a chance for tshuva. Accordingly, Chesed Ne'uraich refers to the faith that so many of Bnei Yisrael displayed as they unquestionably followed Moshe and Aharon into the unknown. Other Mefarshim disagree, recalling the bitter complaints and litany of moans of the children of Israel as they repeatedly threatened to run back to the mindless security of enslavement in Egypt. Thus, Mahari Kara posits that Chesed Ne'uraich is the unconditional love that Hashem, not Israel, displayed for the fledgling nation. Radak, on the other hand, follows Targum Yonatan, who suggests that Chesed Ne'uraich refers to the endless devotion displayed by our forebears, particularly Avraham Avinu, who obeyed Hashem's call, Lech Lecha, and followed him to an unknown odyssey, believing his promises, even if he would not live to see them fulfilled. Accordingly, Hashem recalls the Zchut Avot, the merit of our patriarchs, that will ensure that even when we are rebuked and punished, we will never be eradicated. We remain forever the holy nation, consecrated and bound to Hashem, as indicated in the third verse of this chapter. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reishit Tvuato, Kol Ochlav Ye'eshamu, Ra'a Tavo Alehem Ne'um Hashem. Hashem vows, Israel is consecrated to Hashem. They are his first fruits. Whoever devour them shall be held guilty. Evil shall overcome them. Nevertheless, Hashem does not overlook ingratitude. And he bemoans the fickle people he had so dearly cherished and nurtured. Ma matzu avoteichem bi avel, ki rachaku me'alai. Vayelchu achareya hevel, vayehebalu. What fault did your fathers find in me, that they strayed so far from me, and followed worthless idols, becoming worthless themselves? As the Jews distanced themselves from Hashem, he in turn hid his presence from them, leaving them to falter. Though it became clear that they could not rely on their own devices, they stubbornly refused to seek the source of life. Yirmiyahu bemoans, they did not ask, where is Hashem who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, traversing through arid land and pits, a dry land in the shadow of death? No, they did not acknowledge or thank Hashem when he settled them into a fruitful and beautiful homeland, which they rapidly defiled with decadent immorality. Va'avi etchem el eretz ha-karmel le'echol pirya v'tuva v'tavo v'tetamu et arzi v'nachalati samtem la'toheva. His reprimand does not skip over the religious and lay leadership, as he declares in verse 8, ha-kohanim lo amru ayei Hashem v'tofsei ha-torah lo yedauni והרועים פשעו בי, והנביאים ניבאו בבעל, ואחרי לא יועילו הלכו. The priests did not ask, where is Hashem? Those who grasped the Torah would not know me. The shepherds rebelled against me, and the prophets prophesied by the Baal, and they all followed futility. Radak takes note of the ironic term for Torah scholars, Tofsei HaTorah, which implies that they manipulate the law while keeping knowledge from the masses. Moreover, they fail to internalize what they learn and do not practice the morality they preach. The failure of leadership leaves the nation without a rudder, and when disaster hits, they fail to introspect and comprehend that they had abandoned Hashem in his only ways, only to imperil their very existence. As the chapter continues, Hashem mourns the people's folly, bemoaning in verse 13, Kishtaim ra'ot hasami, oti azvu mekor maim chayim, lachtzov lahem borot borot nishbarim, asher lo yachilu hamaim. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and then dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. The people fail to recognize that their country is in peril, precisely because they've turned away from Hashem. Instead of returning to their roots, they had begun to rely on alliances with other nations, on the assistance of foreign powers to forestall the impending invasion. Thus, in verse 18, Hashem points out the futility of such policies. Ve'ata malach lederech Mitzrayim lishtot mei Shichor, u'malach lederech Ashur lishtot mei Nahar. God mocks the reliance on Egypt that had so cruelly oppressed us in the past, and the folly of trusting Assyria that had decimated the northern kingdom and exiled the 10 tribes of Israel. Rabbi Yossi Kara, a contemporary of Rashi, indicates that Yirmiyahu is forewarning the king, Yoshiyahu, against such alliances. Egypt and Assyria were both threatened by the rising power of Nebuchadnezzar, and had demanded that the Judean kingdom join them. Yoshiyahu opted to enter the fray. Ignoring more explicit warnings, only to be double-crossed by the Egyptians, who later killed him at Megiddo. Am Yisrael then, and sadly on other occasions, failed to understand that its very existence, as well as its prosperity and power, depend on their exclusive fealty to Hashem and his Torah. Instead of learning from their failures, the people double down on their sin, and in desperation opt to mimic the pagan practices of their foes, as expressed in the 25th verse. You say it is hopeless, for I love foreign gods, and I must go after them. Stubbornly, like an uncontrolled addiction, they cling ever more fiercely to idolatry. Thus he describes in verses 26 through 28, Kevoshet ganav ki yimatze, ken hovishu beit Yisrael, heima malchehem, sarehem, vechohanehem unvihem. Omrim la'etz aviata, ula'even at yiladetani, kifanu elai oref velofanim, uve'et ra'atam yomru, Kuma vehoshieni. As the shame of a thief caught red-handed, so is the house of Israel shamed. They, their kings, their officials, their priests, and their prophets, who say to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you birthed me. For they have turned their backs to me and not their faces. Yet in time of trouble, they beg, rise up and save us. So God mocks them. V'ayei Elohecha asher asita lach. Yakumu im yoshiucha be'et ra'atcha, ki mispar arecha hayu Elohecha Yehuda. So where are the gods you made for yourselves? Let them rise up and save you in time of trouble. For your gods are as numerous as your cities, Yehuda. It seems that Hashem mourns grievously the loss of his beloved children and is pained by their self-inflicted suffering. They've learned nothing from punitive consequences and are self-destructing. Lama tarivu elai kulchem, pshatem bi ne'um Hashem. Lashav hikiti et bneichem, מוסר לא לקחו, אכלה חרבכם נביאיכם כאריה משחית. Why do you fight against me? You've defied and rebelled against me, declares Hashem. I have struck your children in vain. They accepted no discipline. Your own sword has devoured your prophets like a voracious lion. How could Am Yisrael forget all the kindness, all the miracles that Hashem bestowed upon them? How could they forget the love they once shared with Hashem? Hatishkach ptula edya? Kala kishtureha? Ve'ami shchechuni yamim ein mispar. Can a maiden forget her ornaments, or a bride her jewels? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. The people have abandoned Hashem for idolatry in a relentless but futile pursuit of unbridled power and pleasure. They also abandoned the social consciousness, the chesed, the charity that was the hallmark of the Jew. And in verse 34, even your hems are stained with the blood of the innocent poor, though you did not find them breaking in. Forgoing ethical behavior, the land of Israel is stained with abuse of the poor, with rampant violence and open criminality, making the fall of Judea inevitable. Thank you for learning with me.